relax as you're driving home. You're listening to some Triple Option with RBKE. We got Rod Davis. We got Kevin Dunn. No Brad Kellner. BK is just enjoying life. You know what I'm saying?
It is hour number three of the Triple Option with RBKE. Don't you feel that when you hear this?
I do feel groovy.
Feel groovy?
I feel groovy, man.
Just think some of me real stoic, kind of relaxed voice. Come on.
This one actually has lyrics. Welcome back. This is Triple Option. This is a Monday. You have John Reichel, who's in. He'll be back on Wednesday.
Oh, what Tupac is it? This is because Tupac took this course. One of his I know Tupac,
and I'm trying to think of which one this is.
It is. You got to give me some time with it.
This may be one of the very few Tupac songs I don't like. This is all right, though.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, this is Frankie Bev and Maze with Happy Feelings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What year is this,
great
John?
Song.
91, I believe.
Really?
Let me double check, though.
Wouldn't you have guessed this would have been a 60s or 70s?
Oh, Can You Get Away? Can You Get Away on Me Against the World is actually a...
It's the Tupac.
Yeah, okay. It's a gangster love song to some chick who's got a man who abuses her.
A gangster love song.
Yeah, he's asking her, can she get away? And he takes his, and he takes the chorus of it.
Yeah, this is that I was looking at the wrong date there. That was the re-release of it. Yeah, this was late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Gangster love sounds like it contradicts itself right away, but I'm sure there's some gangster love going on.
Oh, gangster love is a little genre, yeah, because these gangster rappers, every now and then, they wanted kind of a love song. So it's like, well, you've been rapping about
killing people.
How you gonna switch it over? How you gonna change the mood here?
You got on a knee.
Exactly.
You gotta find women somehow to get in all these songs. Like, I got all these ladies. You gotta find a way to bring them in.
Yeah.
You know?
So, gangster rap's way to to impress the ladies or to get to woo the women was club music because women like to dance. So you gotta have club music, right? It's like 50, the birthday song, right? There you go, 50 Cent. And then you got love songs, like gangster love songs, right?
It's Your Birthday is a
it's a club song.
Okay, yeah, definitely a club song.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's for the club,
right?
And dudes don't dance in the club. Ladies go to dance in the club. Guys go to the club to dance with the ladies, usually.
Usually,
but some guys just like to get out there and dance because they can. Most guys just doing the same damn two step over and over again.
True.
Yeah, you know I mean, so there you go.
South Florida leading South Alabama 3-2 now, top of the seventh. Winner of that will get the winner of the Texas Regional. And that was pretty obvious all the way through. Texas wins a regional. They go 3-0. And, Rod, you said it earlier, never really had to sweat. It's not sweating, but maybe you're looking at Ty Madden and, okay, he's up in the zone and you're taking on Arizona State and it's scoreless and you're in the third. But all that went away. There were Texas fans that were worried about the offense in the tournament, the Big 12 tournament, because they struck out a bunch.
Yeah, and 47.
My biggest question about this offense, and still will be, is when they face elite pitching, especially when that velocity goes up, just how good can they be whenever they get to that point? But that was not going to happen this weekend. Texas ran through this regional. I've been watching Texas baseball for a long time, and I remember a lot of it going back. I don't remember one where they just ease their way through. Some of that's the competition. A lot of that is the way they're playing.
They're just playing at a high level. Not a lot of holes in their game right now. They can win a lot of different ways. You saw it on Saturday. Or saw it on Sunday, too. Sunday they won. You've talked about it. They had to learn how to manufacture runs. Got to learn how to be patient at the plate. Small ball, if you will. They did that on Sunday, right? The first run came on the board as a result of a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of walks in that game. Had 11 Longhorns walked. Got hit by six batters. Ended up taking their base because they got hit.
Cam took three of those. One of them, I'm not sure. One of them, I think, bounced and then may have hit
grazed him. Okay.
But he sold it well.
There you go.
Right away, he's already unstrapping the body armor.
He started limping. Did he limp away a little bit?
We almost gave like he's pissed
a wince.
Off. One, it hurt, but two, I want a bat. And you know what? I believe the second part of that. I don't think it hurt, but I do think Cam was hitting the ball so well. He's thinking, wait a minute. This is bullpen. These are bullpen
that helps the narrative.
Batting practice fastballs. Are you kidding me? I'm hitting the ball, and I want to. And he already got a home run robbed this year during a game when he hit a home run and then ended up canceling the game because of weather. that would be in my mind all year.
Still thinking about
long.
It.
I should have one more homer, and I'm going to be chasing that thing the whole time.
Yeah, and they showed that, right? They showed the power this past weekend on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the power was on display. But, yeah, I mean, I just think they can win in a lot of different ways. We know they can win with pitching. The pitching's elite. You talked about it. I don't know if anybody in the country has three aces to start out. They can throw at you like Texas does. And, you know, right now they're playing with a ton of confidence. And why shouldn't they be? They deserve it. I mean, they scored 33 total runs, allowed 5 in those 3 games. That is, other than Notre Dame, as you talked about, I don't know
if...
This
is a perfect regional for me.
Was it really? Yeah, well, because Notre Dame and Texas both...
Hey, it starts with Texas. Let me get that
dominated.
Straight.
Dominated. Both dominated.
But yeah, I really...
It wasn't even close.
Really like what Link Jarrett is doing in South Bend. Remember Link Jarrett as a shortstop on those Mike Martin teams in the early 90s. And they scored 50 runs. I'll still take... If those two teams meet up, and if they both win their Supers, that's going to be Texas' opening round matchup against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's got a lefty who they would throw in that game. I'm almost positive they could maybe get Texas off balance. But both those offenses are really confident, and they're good 1-9, and they're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. How about Zubia's shot to dead center? 0-2, yeah. 0-2 count. 94-mile-per-hour fastball, assuming that the gun was correct, and he sits on that thing. 0-2, usually what you're thinking is, okay, I'm going to see a 59-foot breaking ball. I just can't chase, especially if you've got a little rep in your career of chasing. But they pitched backwards. Pitching backwards means you start with off-speed stuff and you finish with fastballs.
Yeah.
And it's like Zubia was all over.
He was ready for it.
He was like, no, I think you're coming with a fastball and you're going to try and elevate it. And if you don't elevate it enough, I'm going to elevate it for you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. These guys have really good approaches this year.
Yeah. No, it's really, really encouraging, man, that the way they're playing, especially the way they're hitting. Now, like you said, favorable route, favorable matchups, because Fairfield's pitching rotation was hammered at that point.
Ooh.
And, yeah, even Arizona State, a lot of their, you know, they look beleaguered, if you will.
They looked like they had their 3 weekend starters were out.
Yeah, and Texas took advantage of it.
It'd
be different if Texas didn't take advantage of it. So some people will say, yeah, it was a favorable regional for Texas, the way it laid out. But also Texas won in dominant fashion. They left no doubt. So Texas fans, at this point, you know, should be confident the way things are working out. This team can make a run. I don't know what the expectations are now, because I'm sure Longhorn fans have readjusted
it's
their expectations.
Definitely Omaha.
And they should have, right? You should be watching this team getting excited, and the expectations should be rising.
Yep.
In terms of what you expect to do, you expect this team to do once they get to Omaha, and how far they expect to go.
So there were other teams that just didn't look that crisp or that good this weekend. And look, any Arkansas fan that's being honest would say, yeah, we don't look like ourselves. We don't look like that team that just ran through a loaded SEC this year and didn't lose a weekend series or won the conference tournament, as you pointed out. They struggled. Obviously, TCU struggled. TCU's not even playing in the regional final.
That's crazy.
As, yeah, they get bounced. That'll be Oregon State and DBU. That game's going on right now. Oregon State leading Dallas Baptist University 5-0. That game is in the top of the 6th inning. Oregon State's created this program. Pat Casey's gone now, but they've created this program where kids go there, Rod. And it was the only thing I was worried about with Arizona State. They go there and they expect to, even if you're a 2 or 3 seed and you're on the road, we expect to get to the Supers. That's what this program does. And looks like Oregon State is on their way there right now. But there are some teams that looked really good and some teams that, frankly, just didn't look like they did all season long. And Texas was one of those teams that they look like they did for the majority of the season when they've got all 3 things working. You asked me to nitpick. The only nitpicking at all, and that's just worried about down the road, would be base running.
Again,
look, it is what it is.
Yeah.
This is just not a good base running team. And that goes back to coaching. I've given this coaching staff a ton of love, and rightfully so. That, and it also goes back to some of the guys. I mean, some of these guys just aren't good base runners. You try and coach them into it, and you can kind of run yourself out of innings. But that wasn't a problem this weekend because you're blowing people out. And so if Melendez does get a little too aggressive and there's no way you try and go to third there because that ball is going to be cut off and you're in no man's land. Well, you just go, okay, let's fix that. Let's not let that happen when we're in Omaha and it's a 4-3 game.
Yeah, and that hasn't really come back to bite them. It happen in the regular season
a little bit, yeah,
a couple of times. But you know, they're
but
such
they're
a
number
well,
two national seed, so they got through
it. Didn't happen that much, yeah. And it's, like I said, it's not a tragic flaw. It's not a Shakespearean flaw. It's not the one ultimately that'll lead to their downfall. It's one of those things that'll cost them a run. It'll cost them opportunities here and there.
It could cost them the season if you're in Omaha and it's a one run game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
But they have so many different ways to pull out tough games. They have elite pitching. They have fielding and defense they can rely on. And one of the questions that, you know, you talked about and has been brought up about this team, can they small ball it when they have to against elite pitching? They don't know if they didn't face elite pitching in the regionals, no question about it. But we did see them
with
manufacture runs.
Right.
Yeah, we did see them, you know, get quality at bats, pull out of pressure, you know, flip the script, put pressure on the opposing pitcher, and, you know, get guys on base, which they did against Fairfield. They got a ton of guys just on base. No matter if it was Pretty, that there was three singles in the second. Remember those three singles? That led to things kind of get going. So I think that, you know, this is a team that if you're looking at them from a perspective of how to exploit them, what's the weakness, how do you attack them, it's really tough to come up with a game plan to attack them.
They do
a lot. They do almost everything well, if not good to great.
Especially if the bottom part of the order, as I've talked about with Faltini, Ardoin, and Kennedy, are pulling their weight, and then it makes it really tough. Look, one through six, you can have a tough lineup, and that's still going to be really tough, but you get a breather, and you don't have to concentrate or focus as much on getting certain guys out. But when you go one through nine, man, it makes it really tough on a pitcher. Speaking of pitching for Texas, it was dominant this weekend. Tristan Stevens with the sinker, 10 groundouts on that opening game, and he looked like the type of guy who could be an ace. Then you got Ty Madden, probably going to be a first-round pick. I'd be surprised if he's not. Fastball slider, change a little bit, but he at times was just overpowering Arizona State hitters. And then the guy who you could argue is the best pitcher for Texas, best starter right now, that'd be Pete Hansen, who finished it off yesterday. 6 2/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, 1 was earned, no walks, and 13 strikeouts, and a majority of those were on his slider. Rod, the great thing about Pete, there's a couple things. One, he can change speeds, and you say, I'm sure he changes speeds because he's got a curveball and maybe a changeup and a fastball. No, even within that curveball, he can have different speeds.
Yeah.
And so that's when he can really mess people up.
That's right.
And know when to slow things down, know when to speed things up a little bit. It really is his game. But the other thing I love is that he recognized that there were some of his pitches weren't working for him. So he said, I'm going to keep on throwing this slider until they hit it. And guess what? They didn't hit it. 13
hey,
strikeouts,
it
will tell you.
I'm about to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right, they can't hit it. But, yeah, I mean, that's those three guys, man, at the end of the year, I will say that even if the team is not necessarily peaking, we don't know that yet. It seems like they are based on what we saw in the regionals. But as the competition gets tougher, we'll see if that continues to be the case. But I don't think there's any doubt about the confidence that the coaching staff has in that starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those three guys are as impressive as any top three for any team in college baseball. Like, it'd be hard for anybody to find a top three that's better than those three right there.
Yeah, top two, I'd still take Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, but Vanderbilt, from what I've seen, they don't have that third, especially if you're comparing him to someone like Pete Hansen. So that'll not only help out in this super regional. South Florida is up 3-2 last I checked, and I watched the South Florida third starter. And I'm telling you, man, the way he throws, it's kind of over the top. It looks like one of those who was the old guy in Major League who was cheating and had stuff.
Oh,
this is actually a good tease because later on we're going to talk about MLB and some of the substances. I forgot his name, but it's almost that real herky jerky over the top, like he's got to use his left shoulder as a righty just to get it over, you know. But then he was doing that, and it was flying out, and the guns read 92, 93, and I'm thinking, all right. But South Alabama got to him. I think Texas would have the advantage no matter who they're playing, and a lot of that has to do with the pitching. Look, they didn't even have to get to their bullpen. They gave Lucas Gordon one guy. So David Pierce goes out to get Pete Hansen, and they give Lucas Gordon one guy who is a lefty just to get him some action.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? He's fine. He gets him to, forgot what it was, like a ground out or whatever. Cole Quintanilla then gets the next inning, who hadn't pitched all weekend. Aaron Nixon gets that final inning. You're just trying to keep those guys sharp. Anytime you're in regional play and you have to get your two best relievers in there or two of your best three in there just to keep them fresh, you know that was a pretty damn good regional. And
yeah,
Texas flew through this thing.
He did.
It's so important to set yourself up. And I talked about it in One and Done. You can get to hornfm.com to hear my thoughts on the bracket in general and forecasting a little bit.
Don't jinx them.
Which Stephen Dunn called, no relation. Stephen, I totally hear you, and I would have been the Kevin Dunn listening to that saying, don't jinx it. But you understand our job. We're going to forecast. Yeah. We're going to look at stuff.
You probably saw some of those upsets and was like, it could have been Texas in that situation is maybe what he was thinking.
It's baseball.
Yeah.
So guess what? It could be South Alabama taking on Mississippi State or Notre Dame in that opening game, and Texas doesn't get there. It can happen. But looking at knowing this Texas team, knowing college baseball, and looking ahead, I really like the way it sets up. And the other thing too is that look, your pitching is completely set up, so you can go any way you want. I would think they stick with that and just go Stevens, Madden, and Hansen, or they do it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know if the Stevens thing was because of the matchup in particular, or if they
But I'm saying now that you did that,
you could stick with that.
And keep him on that rest, right?
No, I'm with you. That's a great point.
Give Ty Madd another day with however that blister's doing.
That's true. He did say that the reason that he liked Tristan Stevens in that role is because he recovers quicker than the other starters.
He does.
Which I thought was interesting. Probably because of the way he works. He's so economical. Like, so, you know what I mean? He doesn't wait. Not a lot of wasted pitches with Tristan Stevens.
He had a date.
I'm pretty sure
he had a date.
Man works quickly,
and he was trying
to get
out of
there. His date is hoping he doesn't, but man works quickly.
I knew. You know what?
Right.
You know what's funny?
I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, you should. You should have.
Sorry,
because I missed that on Friday, and I heard it, and BK had been giving enough old man stuff, and I thought, all right, let's just move on.
Let it go.
Let's just move on. Hey, do not move on from Sam Dude at Barton Creek Lending Group. That is the name to remember if you're ready to refi your home or maybe even buy a new one. Rates are still low, but they're creeping back up quickly. So if your interest rate is above 4%, definitely a good idea to reach out to Sam Dude soon. Website's easy to remember, homeloandude.com, homeloandude.com. So if you're affected by the winter weather as well, and maybe insurance is not picking up the cost on everything, you can tap into the equity of your home, and Sam can help you do that. So if you've got any issues with that, give Sam a call. If you're refining, give Sam a call. Talked with him today. Very likable guy, friendly guy, also a very smart guy who works his butt off. He'll be available 7 days a week for you. All you got to do is get online. The Dude Abides. It's homeloandude.com. Homeloandude.com. Rod, you know that part of this job is to try and be as objective as possible,
mm-hmm.
and some of that will be being critical. And throughout the year, I've tried to find things that this Texas baseball team can improve on. It was pretty much the whole year. What was it? It was bunting. And sack bunting, especially, because they hit for bunts, mm-hmm. pretty well. And then mainly base running. Right? And those two, still, they got to sharpen up. If I'm David Pierce, I'm working on all those things this week and just trying to go over situational stuff.
That's a good point.
The thing is, you don't want to take away the aggressive base running, because that's one of the things I love about this team, and I think it helps them. But you want to make sure it's smart, aggressive base running. But outside of that, man, look, this team is set up really well to go make some noise. And if you get into those finals, let's say Arkansas does win tonight and Vandy does advance, those would be the two scariest teams. Arizona and Texas Tech could also be on that side of the Omaha, mm-hmm. bracket, which that region one or bracket one is pretty loaded. Texas could win their seventh national championship. I'm not saying they will.
Ooh.
This team could do it. And I had questions about that all season long. And if you didn't, you were probably just being a fanboy.
Yeah. Steven is upset.
Which is fine. Which is fine.
Steven thinks you're jinxing it again.
I know. Steven turned off.
No,
Steven
yeah.
turned off like an hour ago. He's like, all right, man.
Because Steven,
all right, dude,
he's nervous.
It.
But I think he's nervous because he agrees.
Yeah.
He agrees.
Because he thinks this team should go do that.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's why he's like, no, don't jinx it, because I believe it too. I think a lot of Longhorn baseball fans are like you. They know, they believe this team has what it takes, but that's different than doing what it takes.
Exactly.
Right? In that moment.
I think a lot of us became real believers because the schedule was so backloaded. Whenever they go through mm-hmm. the toughest Big 12 series, the last three, and there wasn't much separation there. Let's be honest about that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with the Tech series and the TCU
they lose
series.
Tech, and they easily could have lost TCU. Yeah. You could argue that Oklahoma State could have been, well, they won two out of three, so obviously it was tight, but they could have even lost that series. But the fact that they were able to win two out of those three series, and that's when I started thinking, okay, this team's better than I thought, and this team can play with that level of talent. We knew that their level of talent was really good, but how do you match up, especially when you're facing
exactly.
good pitching? And, dude, they've matched up. They were easily the most talented team in this regional, and they're going to easily be the most talented team in the super regional. Doesn't mean they're going to be the best team. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but this team is set up to go to Omaha for the 37th time.
Ooh, Longhorn fans are going to travel too, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going.
Well, it's like we saw with the pandemic.
Yeah, so I'm saying people are looking for a reason to travel. So Longhorn baseball fans are going to travel. All right, we get back to some more Texas baseball discussion, but congrats to the Texas baseball team on the way they performed in the regional. Still got a lot of work to do. We got work to do, too. Matter of fact, Roch rant of the day coming up next. Chris Hummer has a great article that he puts out, kind of a research piece that he does every year. It's annual. He actually comes up with a 24/7 developmental rating and actually comes up with the what he calls the draft hit rate of every college football team. And it's really interesting. We'll see where the Longhorns rank here. This is about development of talent. He goes from 2012 to 2016. So it's a 5-year span that he's studying. And he's looking for what teams develop talent the best in college football. And unfortunately for Longhorn fans, what teams are the worst at developing that talent? All that and more in Roch Rant of the Day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
You've done it now. It's time for Roch Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Roch Rant of the Day. And I want to get into Chris Hummer's article. He does a great job for 24/7 Sports. And every year, at least for the last 5 years, he's been doing what he calls his development rating. And they tweak it every year to make it a little bit cooler. So this time span, at least the period that this study was conducted over, was from 2012 to 2016. So a 5-year span. They have their top 247 prospects in the country. So they use that as a starting point. They take the top 247 prospects in the country, and you get points for being able to recruit and sign one of those top 247 prospects every program. So if you signed at least, I believe the number they cut it off of was at least 10. So you had to sign at least 10 to even qualify to get into this group over that time span. And they gave more points for you signing a top 50 member of the top 247 prospects. So if you signed a top 50 player, you got even more credit for that. If you turn that player into a first round pick, you get a certain number of points. Second round pick, certain number of points. Third round, fourth round, so on. Right. That gives you your NFL draft hit rate. They also here did a tiered point system based on the top 247 prospects. So after the top 50, they did a tiered system based on the top 247 prospects. You got any of those players, you get a certain amount of points. They removed dismissed players, those who didn't qualify at all, the players who retired because of medical reasons, and players who hit the transfer portal within 2 years, in less 2 years or less. So they took those players out of the equation of the formula, because these days, I mean, the transfer portal is just something that happens with more and more frequency. Okay, so That's how they come up with their development rating. They give a rating, and they also give what they call kind of their NFL draft hit rate, the percentage of the blue chip players you have come in that end up getting drafted.
Okay.
So whatever percentage that is. Alabama, of course, is at the top of this study. Always are. A 65.6% draft hit rate for their blue chip players they bring into the program, the top 247 players, with a 1.13 developmental rating. That's a little bit of advanced, you know, multifactorial algorithm that they have there. So I won't go into that because I don't want to bore you after that. We'll just kind of stick with the NFL draft hit rate, which is the percentage of blue chip players you have drafted from 2012 to 2016. Alabama leading the way, 65.6% of their blue chip players end up getting drafted. 52% of Bama's first round picks in the Saban era, basically. So if you look at their five stars, I think that's a five star. 51% of their five stars have been first round picks, which is just a freaky stat.
That is.
The national average is 21%. So if you ever bring a five star on campus, there's a 21% chance that player will be drafted in the first round. But for Nick Saban, that number is 51%. It's just absolutely freaky. So 2012, 2016, Alabama had 11 first-round draft picks. Ohio State was second with 9. And this, by the way, does not even include Najee Harris, Jerry Jeudy, Tua, Leatherwood, Henry Ruggs, or Mac Jones, or Devontae Smith, because that was in the 2017 recruiting class. So they'll their number is gonna probably gonna go like to 75% or something when they count in the 2017 class.
Boy, they hit on those, didn't
they? Because that was like the greatest recruiting class arguably in the history of college football recruiting. I'm not making it up. 7 first round draft picks in one recruiting class. Crazy. So far, by the way. So far.
Yeah.
We still got a few guys that are still on campus. So, but I digress. We all know Bama is king. This is what will surprise you, though, about the top schools here, though. Washington. Although Washington only brought in 12 of the top 247 players in that time span, the top 247, they had a 58% hit rate, NFL draft hit rate.
It's really damn good.
Which is really damn good. I mean, there are a lot of schools. I mean, some of the big-time schools are higher, but honestly, only in this study, only Florida, which is second, by the way, a development rating. Florida, 69% of their NFL draft hit rate. So 69% of their blue chips who come in end up getting drafted. Florida's doing really well. There have been 29 of those top 247 prospects come in that time span. Washington is third. So Bama, Florida, then Washington, based on their – this is obviously part of the developmental rating as well. Ohio State.
Coach K, too.
That's all I think. Coach Kwiatkowski. That's why I brought it up for Longhorn fans out there.
I'm going with Coach K now because Coach K is out of the game.
So, so now you can claim the Coach K.
Well,
I like that.
I think that's going to be one guy forever.
Ohio State brought in 51 of the top 247 players over that five-year time span, 60.8% NFL draft hit rate. So 60% of those players end up going to get drafted. They have LSU at number 5, 52% draft hit rate. They have Miami coming in at number 6 with a 65% NFL hit rate.
That's kind of surprising.
That was very surprising for me when I saw it. Stanford and Oklahoma.
Quickly, does that tell you that they're just not getting, they're obviously not getting the amount of guys they used to get?
Because if that's the case, they got 23.
All right.
They're not as many, but that's a decent amount. It's twice as many as Washington would have gotten.
That's
only
surprising.
Two less than Texas got in that time span.
Right.
But their guys are getting drafted at a 65% clip. Oklahoma and Georgia, 50%. Sorry, Oklahoma and Stanford, 50% clip for their NFL draft hit rate. And then there's Georgia at a 54% hit rate. They're at number 9 on this list. Okay, so then we go to the bottom. I'll pass up the middle class of this, but Clemson is number 11. They're at a 46% NFL draft hit rate. They got Florida State at 50% right now at number 12. Notre Dame, 34 top 247 players signed in that five-year span, 47% NFL hit rate, which is not bad.
No.
Which makes you think maybe Notre Dame has hit their ceiling. Like, I don't know what more Notre Dame can do.
What have I told you?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Can they do other than, you know what I mean? They're still recruiting at a high level.
It doesn't mean they couldn't win one in one of these years.
Exactly.
Maybe down.
Get a special player, but.
But the 11 national or 12 national championships and the dominant run they had for 50 or 60 years, years ago, that's never coming back.
You're never going to hit that again. No. And I don't know if anybody will other than what Nick Saban's done in the recent past.
And especially with them not going all in with cheating. And no, seriously. And the academics.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually really damn impressive.
Yeah, it's just really tough to do. Yeah, in the modern recruiting world that we live in. All right, so Texas is at the bottom of this list, but I'll tell you why there should be hope for Longhorn fans. The write-up here says, Texas fans will be happy to know the Longhorns avoided last place in these rankings for the first time, but the Longhorns didn't jump far, landing at number 25 from number 27. Texas' top five class in 2011 produced just a single draft pick out of 10 qualifying players. So kicking that out of the data was helpful for its standing. So it's 2012, 2016.
Gotcha.
So he goes from a five-year span. So next year, 2012 won't count. It'll be 2013 and 2017. So that's why he's saying the 2011 class being ruled out helps Texas, and that's why they actually took a leap forward in these rankings. He said Texas had just one first-round pick since 2014, despite landing 12 five-stars between 2010 and 2018 that have opted to explore their draft options. He said the production has been nothing short of abysmal. He said five Longhorns were drafted in 2021, which is tied for the most since 2010, when Texas had six players drafted coming off a national title game appearance. So this points to that as a sign of hope. And him breaking this down, because I saw my man CB actually had a back and forth with Chris Hummer on Twitter. And CB said he was surprised that Texas was at 25. And Chris Hummer replied saying Texas' 2010 and 2011 classes were historically bad. Getting them off the books helped Texas avoid last for the third straight year, but it's still not a great spot for the Longhorns to be in. CB replied, because I know CB knows his Texas football, 2009 was bad as well, if I remember correctly. And he replies, oh, yeah, Okafor and Vaquero were the only players drafted from the number six overall class. He said, when people talk about Texas collapse, three straight classes bracketing a title game appearance is a great place to start.
I like that because we've talked about the offensive line. The offensive line was having recruiting problems.
Before it was like Colt. 2008.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. My man Jeff Howe and Matt Buller, who I do a Longhorn Blitz with, they do a great breakdown, what they call the bus rate. And they classify players in recruiting classes in three different categories in retrospect 4 or 5 years later. NFL caliber guys who played in the league, starters, guys who end up starting but didn't make it to the league, positive impact players, I mean, they played some reps, they were able to contribute something, and then straight up bust, guys who were just lost. It's just a loss.
Right.
I mean, the guy didn't provide a damn thing. He just ate chicken fried steak and wasted a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with those guys. Please get your education.
No, there's something wrong with those guys.
No. It's not because
get your education.
Get your education, because sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes you can't contribute anything. Well, if you got to retire.
You're just eating fried chicken the whole time.
Well, if you got to retire, and then you can't play football, but you're still eating chicken fried steak. Good for you.
Yeah,
it's not your fault. So I'm saying it's good, but they're classified as bust.
Gotcha.
So, and what my man Jeff Howe and Matt Buller found was that if you want to determine how great a recruiting class is, not only do you look at the NFL draft hit rate, which is what Chris Hummel's looking at, but you got to look at the bust rate.
Because
he said if you can keep that bust rate of your class below 30%, meaning 30% of your class is a bust and a lost cause, he said if you can keep that number below 30%, it usually ends up being a really good class. He said, but if it goes above 30%, it usually proves disastrous in the future. And there's right now, you actually can look at the stats and bear it out. So my man Jeff Howe found that if you look at the highest bust rate Texas has had since 2009. Really, he went back all the way to 1999. 2013 is the highest bust rate right now on record based on his study. 46.7% of the 2013 class was a bust. You got nothing from that entire recruiting class. That's half the damn class.
That's brutal.
And that's how Charlie Strong essentially started out his tenure at Texas.
Right.
With a huge void in that recruiting class that was in that 2013 class, the last one for Mac.
That's essentially being on sanctions.
Exactly, right? And that's exactly. You don't even have those scholarships.
You sanction yourself.
Yeah, to just bad players or miss evaluations or whatever. And some of that's due to a coaching turnover, which is kind of what you had in 2016 when you had a 39% bust rate for Charlie Strong's last class and the class right before Tom Herman. By the way, Tom Herman's 2017. Class, 47% bust rate right now. So you're at back-to-back classes for Tom Herman, 2016, almost a 40% bust rate, and 2017, above a 45% bust rate in that class. That's what happened to Mac Brown. In Mac Brown, 2009, that recruiting class, 43% bust rate. It was the class that killed Mac Brown, Texas football. Then 2010, 38% bust rate. and then so on. Mm-hmm. And then you cushion that with 2011 and 12, but in 2013, you have another almost a 50% bust rate. Those classes being almost consecutively back-to-back with huge bust rates, almost going to your 50% mark, those are the classes that basically gutted Texas football in the early 2010s. It's just starting to recover. You can see that from the most recent draft. Give Tom Herman a little props for that. But even that 2018 class, it's not actually trending toward a really high NFL hit rate. But what Tom Herman did avoid was the bust rate with that 2018 class. Go look at it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of busts in that class.
No.
Guys
that are giving you something.
They're giving you something.
Yeah.
Just give me something. Make sure you're not a wasted scholarship. And to me, that's how you avoid a disastrous recruiting class. That's what Sark's got to avoid, too. Yes, get the NFL hit rate, but also avoid the bust rate, man. That drags that class down into the gutter.
Really good stuff there, man. We've gone over this before. It shows you why Texas is in the spot they have been and really how they need to get out of that. And that is evaluating well and then scheming those guys up. Texas did get a 5-star commitment, Rod. I wonder how that's going to play into the numbers you're talking about. A little bit of a different kind of 5-star.
Yeah,
so it may actually skew those numbers. We'll also talk about the Bama transfer that Texas will be getting this fall up next. Triple Option with RBKD. BK will be back on Wednesday. John Reichel playing some classic tunes, including this one. This one just makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Sure does. Yep. You got Blue Swede with Hooked on a Feeling. Just makes me want to crack open a cold one and enjoy the summer.
And that's kind of your theme with all these songs, is that we've had a lot of gloomy weather trying
to
get ready for the summer. These songs remind you of the summer, and it's summertime.
It's true, exactly. And, you know, it's just, you know, got to hold down just a little bit longer, and this summer is going to be great. I can feel it.
You can feel it. I'm hoping it's a cool summer. Sometimes we get that whenever we have the type of weather we did this spring. I mean, it's never going to be cool, a cooler summer. How about that, Rod?
It was still hot today.
Oh, yeah, and
it
muggy,
was like muggy
too.
Today, man. It was humid.
It was muggy yesterday.
I'm looking for that dry heat, just pure sun. That's what I want. I'm from Washington, so I'm still excited by the thought about the hot sun, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, you get that, that humid hot sun.
Get a couple summers down here. I want to see exactly where that chipperness for the hot sun is.
Yeah, as long as my AC works, I'm good to go.
Bryant AC and Electric.
Shout out.
I like that shout out right
there. Shout out.
All right, so get to hornfm.com. You can check out Rod's Rant of the Day. Good stuff as always. And getting into 5 stars and really good recruiting classes and how much they hit on those 5 stars. We talked about the Texas Bama transfer earlier. We can get into that a little bit, Rod. But, Rod, did you see that Texas did get a commitment from a 5-star?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you don't have to give me that reaction.
Whoa, I didn't say anything. I said, yes, I did.
We can hear you. We know you well enough now.
It's a 5-star.
There are people driving down the road that heard that and go, well, why did Rod give that reaction?
It is
a 5-star long snapper. 5-star long snapper.
Long snappers get 5 stars these days.
I didn't realize it. I honestly did not know that at all.
Why did he need the 5th star? Why did the long snapper need the 5th star? Seriously.
Because he's ranked as the top long snapper.
Can he give it to me, laces where I say, I want laces on the outside. I want laces to the left. I want
laces out.
Yeah, I want laces underneath. Can he give me that? Because if he can't do that, then I don't know if he's worthy of a 5-star long snapper.
I'm assuming he can. I'm assuming this guy can do anything you want in terms of long snapping. You can put it like a little bottle cap on
there.
You can
get jiggy with it.
He's going to knock it off.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I know what you're asking about.
Okay.
And you're also asking about this. Actually, a good point.
I'm not mad about the scholarship for a long snapper. No, I get that.
For the holder, how easy is it for him to actually spin it where the laces are there?
Some guys, I remember in the league, like that was kind of their test. They're like, can you put the laces where I want them?
Right.
Can I catch it and just
put it down and not have to do that thing where I spin it?
Yeah, because everybody thinks that everybody's process is the same. It's not. Some guys, when they catch it, they want to spin it a certain way. Some guys don't want to spin it at all. They just want it there. And some kickers, you know, it's all a symbiotic thing, the relationship they have with the long snapper, deep snapper, the timing of that snap, the holder, and the kicker. So I just wonder.
I long snapped in middle school. And actually, early on in high school.
You should have kept it. You should have kept it going.
No.
The thing that usually happens is...
there was not going anywhere with
yes.
me. Yes. With talented players, yes.
No.
A Colin Loeffler or
something
like that.
No, you're wrong. This is why I'll tell you you're wrong. Because deep snapping, and people are not going to like this, it doesn't take a ton of athleticism.
How dare
it
you?
Is just a skill you keep learning over time. You just
yeah.
right. You just refine it and
it's
cultivate.
Usually guys
it.
That play
and by
a
the
lot
way,
of sports, including baseball.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It takes some skill.
Or
I say
basketball.
Skill. I was gonna say athleticism
yeah.
and skill are different things.
Different
by the way,
things.
People. Two different things. Why you all go there on a golf course? And you can kill Rod B, and you
right.
got no damn athleticism, but you're skilled. Good for you.
Can I give you the
skill
ultimate
and athleticism?
Example?
Different things.
John Kruk.
Exactly. Yes. Baseball is full of these people.
They are.
It's a sport full
lots
of people
of
with skill.
Athleticism.
Yeah, exactly. So my point is, if you're a deep snapper, and I've seen time and time again, usually those guys are walk-ons on a program.
Yeah.
Because they can go find a real. Just Texas high school football. You know how many guys out there in frats and on that campus deep snap for their high school like Katie did,
lots.
And were pretty damn good at it.
Lots.
And were like, you know what? Actually, I think I can do this. You know why they can do it? Because you can't hit the deep snapper anymore.
Yeah.
It is literally against the football rules to hit the deep snapper. You want to know why they changed the rule? Because they were so rare. You couldn't find really good deep snappers, so that they decided at every level, don't touch the deep snapper. Leave him alone. Don't hit him right after
why?
You do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they couldn't find a bunch of like, just leave him alone.
Because no one wanted to do it because you're a sitting duck.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a safety issue, too. It's like, nah, that guy's very vulnerable. He can get there and get smashed.
He doesn't belong on this field.
Yeah, and usually it's a guy your size out there with a bunch of surrounded by 300-pound linemen.
Right.
So everybody knows you can't.
Be around
you
that.
Don't touch the deep snapper. So now your son, who is just a little scrawny little kid but is really good at deep snapping, he can go earn a scholarship at a school.
Yeah.
He can.
I know.
Because they can't touch him. He doesn't have to
go
be physical.
Go beyond that. Now, Loeffler was a good player. Loeffler was like a tight end
and everything. Yeah, yeah.
But he made millions in the league. Millions.
Millions
and millions and millions.
I would talk to Colin Loeffler some offseason, and he sounded like he was ready to retire, but they kept giving him a job. He's like, they signed me
I
to
just
another
can't
deal.
Leave.
He's like, if they're going to sign me to for $1 million+ to go snap a football for, what, 16 plays a game, maybe?
Yeah.
And they can't touch me?
Can't touch you.
I'll do it all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
It's up there with punter. It's up there with backup quarterback. Like,
yeah.
It is a brilliant move if you can get that.
If you can get, and you got to be good, though, because if you screw up.
If you screw up once, you're gone.
Exactly. It's one of those things. You screw up once, coach going to cut you.
Yeah.
But Colin Loeffler, I don't know how many times he ever screwed up because he made a 10-year career out of it, 10-plus years in the league. So I would teach my son one of the first skills I'm going to teach him. Number one, I'm going to teach him how to play a musical instrument, one that is portable so that you can hit on chicks and or dudes, whichever he likes.
So you're talking guitar, not piano.
Yeah, whatever he likes. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, yeah, because
okay.
it helps your game to be able to play an instrument. Like
absolutely.
It just makes you seem cooler, right?
Yep.
And then number two, I'm going to teach him how to deep snap so he can go earn a scholarship somewhere in case he has no athleticism. I'm going to have Colin Loeffler teach him. I already told Colin I'm going to pay him.
Okay.
I'm taking my son over there and learn how to deep snap. So he'll be a
maybe
cold.
Maybe Cullen's son will be a white cornerback and you guys can scratch each other's back because you owe us on that one.
Well done. Well done.
Okay. And also the Alabama transfer, Keelan Williams, I believe.
Keelan Robinson.
Keelan Robinson.
Robinson and Robinson.
Another Robinson.
Another Robinson.
Keelan Robinson, 5'9", 190-pounder, played, got sparing time,
yep.
Which makes sense. Sparingly played in 2019, sat out last year.
Mm-hmm.